And welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And recording remotely over the interwebs. Yes. We're social distancing of the finest kind.
We're a few miles away.
Yeah. First time we've ever done this in the history of the Rebel Radio Podcast. We've had a guest on through Skype, and we haven't had a lot of luck with it. We're actually not using Skype. We're using Zencastr to record and do our part to stay social distance.
Yes.
In this strange time we're going through. That being said, though, we want to keep bringing you guys the best show we can, so we keep podcasting, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Keep the quality there. And it's like we are using Zencastr to bring you that today.
It feels awkward. It feels like I'm talking to the ghost in the machine, though. It's kind of strange. Yeah. It's like,
you're like, there's no one really here. Someone, yeah. Who knows? I could really be right? Like, could have downloaded myself into the computer, to preserve myself in lieu of mass corona outbreak.
That's right. We'll have to figure out how to do the webcam thing, though, so we can Facebook Live this in, so I can see who I'm talking to. It doesn't feel so awkward. I know there's a way you can send a webcam without using Skype. We'll have to figure that out.
Probably.
Because I just want to stare into your eyes, Matt. I'm kidding, of course. Or am I?
Of course. Yes.
It's 10 o'clock at night, okay? Things get weird. How have you been dealing with the world changes?
It's different, man. Seeing, every day, you try and look to the positives, because there's so much negative out there, right? Among everything, so much criticism too. So I just kind of look for the feel good stories and, these restaurants that are providing food for nurses and stuff of that nature. I try and look for that stuff. It's so easy to get caught up in the bad. Just my advice is just to look for the good, look for the positive.
That's a good way to put it. I mean, we working in essential businesses, we're seeing some of it every day. And it seems like that people are doing their part for the most part. But then, there's also people not doing their part, unfortunately. Have you noticed driving around, like it feels like people can drive however the hell they want to right now? It's like the rules are still in place, people.
I am not. I mean, I drive a little faster. I may go like 5 to 10 over the speed limit, 10 being the maximum. Usually I'm 5. If the speed limit's 45, I may be going 50. And I've been having like at least once or twice a day, if I'm out, someone just flies by me like I'm driving in a school zone and, they're going, 60 or something. Just crazy.
Right.
I think, people think we're living in a lawless society right now sometimes.
Yeah, it's the thing they can do what they want, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But COVID-19 continues to change things. It changed the way we're doing things. Right now, it's changed the way we're podcasting. And normally, we record at my house, and we hang out, we do the show, and now we're doing it remotely just to do our part. I feel that both of us are safe so far, but, we just want to take care of what we can and show that we're doing the right thing. And hopefully, by next week, we'll be able to figure out the webcam thing and come back with you guys Facebook Live for future shows until this all passes. And even maybe after it all passes, we still might continue the Facebook Live or Twitch stream thing so you all can check us out podcasting.
Yeah. Who knows? This could open another avenue depending on what we're trying to do and what we want to do and, what we're covering. So maybe it was meant to be for us to try this out if it comes back again in another form.
Right. I am starting to get to the point where, I find myself ordering more things on Amazon and maybe spending a little more money than I should, because you want that sense of normalcy. You can't just go to, Academy or Half Price Books or places you like to go and buy what you want. So I think people tend to reach out and they buy things off Amazon just to have that sense of normalcy and have entertainment. But it is getting to the point I'm getting tired of, the convenience of the freedom of being able to go to the movies and things like that. And it's going to get harder as it goes along. But, people are optimistic that by late May we'll be back to some kind of normal. But I have a feeling we're going to be in this for a while.
Yeah, there was a pandemic professor or that I guess has dealt with pandemics before at A&M, and he says that there are five stages and that we're in stage two. So I don't know when, you know, what those stage four and five look like, if there's a, you know, if three is a break and then four, it comes back, you know, it's Empire Strikes Back, and then five is Return of the Jedi, where we strike it down and, you know, bring balance to the Force. So I don't know.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not over with yet. You know, I think maybe we can see the light in some form or fashion, but it's definitely not over. That's for sure.
Yeah. But hopefully everybody just continues to stay safe out there and does their part. And hopefully they enjoy some listening to some podcasts as we continue to do it. And, of course, we are the Rebel Radio Podcast at therebelradiopodcast.com. And we do have a Patreon. For just $2 a month, you can get exclusive episodes. This month, we are going to be doing Highlander 2 as part of our Sequels That Made Us month. It's going to continue over to the Patreon. And we are going to do some other fun stuff. I said this on last week's episode, and I didn't drop it yet, but it will likely drop before this episode does. And that is, our good friend Arnold has come back. He's reviewed comics on our YouTube page. He's reviewing movies for us now. And that will be exclusive to Patreons. And that will be on there before you guys hear this episode. And I have something I'm working on in the works, too, for the Patreon members as well. So we thank those guys for spending their money and donating to the show, because it helps us keep the show going. And also look for some new t-shirts soon to be on the sale on the website, and you know, some new designs and some new stuff. So things are happening at the Rebel Radio Podcast. And you know, in a year that things are a little different, that we won't be broadcasting at Comppalooza this year, we hope to soon be back at Misfit Toys, as once this all blows over at least. But for now, we're going to do it like this and record the best we can for you guys.
I think Misfit Toys is going to be kind of busy with these stimulus checks rolling in, you know. You think someone may go over there and indulge, and hopefully.
Daniel and the guys are still doing business. That you call them and see if they have it. They will sell it to you. You can pick it up curbside for them. I'd say they put a bunch of vintage Star Wars figures up there today. I was tempted to email them and ask them about some of them, but I haven't yet, so... You know, he is still doing business. But so you can still get your comics and your toys, and you can still get movies. You know, movie theaters are putting movies out on demand early. Birds of Prey just hit early. I think I'm going to try to rent it this weekend and watch it. Sonic the Hedgehog is already available. So the movies are trying to do their part in the fact that we can't go to movie theaters right now, but it is what it is. So there are ways to get the entertainment that you still love. Digital comics are always an option. You know, if you read comics, things like that, I think we can find ways to entertain ourselves enough, you know?
Oh, man. Let me tell you, our power went out yesterday during the wind that just blew over, and it caused a transformer to blow. And the kids started getting creative, and they took a flashlight and they started getting their stuffed animals, and they wanted to make a puppet show. And, with a little spotlight and have the images go onto the ceiling. And I was like, that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought to do that.
No, that's because we're not kids. We probably would have thought to do it when we were kids, but not now.
Probably. It's definitely a kid thing.
Yeah, that's cool, though. Yeah, my kids are, they need to get back to structure as soon as possible. But I know that it is what it is right now, and, you know, they'll make it.
Yeah.
So. But so let's get into today's show officially. We always start the show with Download This, where we tell you what we watched, streamed. And you would think with all the free time we had, we'd be watching a lot more than we have. But I ain't going to lie, I kind of slacked off this week. But I did play some games and stuff. I'll let you start, Matt. What did you watch or check out this week?
Yeah, so Resident Evil 3 became available. And, you know, there was some deals going on, I guess, because everyone's quarantined. So I went ahead and bought it. And man, it looks really good. I'm only in the first act, because, you know, I have to share with the kids, and I can't really play whenever the kids are up.
It's an HD remaster.
Yes. Oh man, it looks so good. It is, and Nemesis is so terrifying. You feel like you're in a horror movie. I mean, I didn't think that I could be scared even more than whenever I was a kid. 1999 whenever I played RE3. Because it's like, you, as soon as you turn the corner, and of course Resident Evil has that special angle that really helps capture the horror that you're experiencing and going through in the game. And, you know, Nemesis just blasts through the walls, stars, and then he's coming after you. He's got that big old fist with the little tail that comes in, goes into you, and ugh, it's crazy. So played a little bit of that, and I mean a little bit, just a little bit, like maybe 30 minutes of it tops. And then I downloaded Diablo 3, because, I mean, how can I call myself a Diablo fan if I've played 1 and 2 and I haven't even played 3 yet? So $20, I got all the expansion packs and the game with a couple bonuses, and been playing that a lot. I'm in Act 2 already, towards the end of Act 2. And it's a cool story, man. I mean, Blizzard and the Diablo series, I think it's, you know, definitely one of their more successful franchises. I think some people prefer Warcraft or Starcraft a little bit more, but, you know, Diablo was always my favorite Blizzard game. And I've always have had a soft spot. You know, me and my cousin stayed up 2 days straight to beat Diablo, the first Diablo. Yeah. Whenever we were kids, and we'd order CC's Pizza, stay up all night, and it really stuck with me. So, you know, that's really what I did this week. Didn't really watch anything else other than the movie in question. Whenever we tried, I fell asleep, so just knocked out. Just those two games, not a whole lot for, you know, this quarantine time.
And that's kind of how it was, too. I think, last couple weeks I tried to watch some stuff, and, you know, I finished Picard and all that. But this week I was kind of the same way. I'm a big baseball fan, and I miss baseball. So I went ahead and bought MLB The Show 20, which I broke kind of my cardinal rule. I usually never spend full price on a game, but I wanted to play fresh baseball. Like, I had MLB The Show 18, but, yeah, it's a couple years old now. So I went ahead and got the updated version, and I've been playing that a lot, and it's really good. I had some fear that it might just be a slight upgrade because, you know, everyone knows the PS5 is coming out, and you know, so the games are going to come out for that. But no, MLB The Show 20 is it's not that different from 18, but there's enough improvements in it that I think it was worth the buy from 2 years ago, because I didn't play 19, so I can't speak for that. So maybe people had 19, it's not worth the upgrade. But from 18 to 19, there was enough changes in it to make it worth it for me, and I'm enjoying. I started my season already, and if this was the real Astros, they would be 5-1 already, just like I am. baseball is talking some radical changes about coming back and playing at their spring training facilities and having games here with no fans. We'll see how that all plays out. That'll be interesting to see if they can protect the players and their families throughout this virus pandemic or not. But at the same time, part of me thinks, like, if there is no season, it's for the better, you know, let's protect these guys. But hey, I can play MLB The Show on my PlayStation 4, and I'm happy with that. And I barely cracked the surface of it. You know, for years, I just never played Borderlands because, you know, everyone swore by it, and I tried to play it. I couldn't really get into it, but they had the original Borderlands for $10 on the PlayStation Network, the remastered version. So I downloaded that, and I've kind of just scratched the surface of it. I'm like, you know what? I'll give this game that everybody raves about a try and see if I like it. And so far, you know, I had not hating on it. I think maybe last time when it came out, I just wasn't in the right frame of mind to truly enjoy the game. So I'm going to give that one a try and play some of that. And that's about it. I think I've really watched, I've kind of let the kids watch the TV a lot this week, you know.
Yeah.
Let them kind of watch what they want, you know. And I've just been kind of relaxing and doing stuff around the house and keep them busy while we're quarantined when we're not at work.
I think I'm right there with you, man. Giving the kids the reins to the TV, and, you know, I've just been doing other stuff like you.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that. Like I said, this weekend I'm going to try to rent Birds of Prey and watch it, cause I wanted to see that and maybe have some movie time this weekend, put the kids in bed, cause it's rated R, so I know they can't watch it. Yeah. And they're trying to convince me to spend $20 on Sonic digitally, and I'm like, yeah, we just saw that in theaters a couple months ago. I'm not quite ready to spend $20 on it for a digital copy. It's like, yeah, you know, it was good, but I don't know if it's $20 good.
It'd be different if you hadn't seen it. And then, you know, Vudu has that option to where if you have your address on file and it's verified, that you, for like $2 more, you can have the DVD shipped to you. Yeah, that's always an option.
Yeah. Like I said, it's kind of different because if I hadn't seen it, but since we just saw it, I just feel like, yeah, it's a little too soon to spend $20 on it, you know. But
yeah, I thought the same thing when I saw it. I agree with you.
Says the guy who bought Onward when it's going to be on Disney Plus in a week.
The kids wanted to see it. I thought about that too.
I'm still not going to let you live that one down.
Could have waited 2 weeks and could have kept the $20, got pizza or something.
But you did it. Mm-hmm. And now you have a copy of Onward. It's a good movie. But you can still watch it on Disney Plus.
Yes. Yeah, you can still watch it on Disney Plus.
I didn't feel it was one of Pixar's better films, but it was still good. You know.
Oh yeah. It's kind of middle of the road for Pixar overall.
But it had a good enough story that it kept your attention.
Yeah, I think what surprised me about it is I didn't think it was gonna be that good. I thought it was going to suck. Right. And I think going in with that mentality and that level of expectation, just, you know, I was blown away because my standards were so low for that movie. Because I felt like I didn't see enough advertisement for it. I mean, yeah, the McDonald's toys and stuff. And maybe I missed what was on TV, you know, in favor of it, whatever was advertisement of it, but I felt like it, you know, wasn't nearly as strong as, you know, say Toy Story or even whenever Finding Dory came out. I agree. I think that, you know, maybe not Pixar's best, but it's a better Pixar film for sure.
Yeah. This is a good movie, though. I mean, you can never go wrong with Disney and Pixar. Oh, I did re. You know what's funny? I did watch this weekend. You know, I had never really, hard to believe, but I had never really watched all of Ralph Breaks the Internet. I kept catching in parts. So I did finally sit down this past week and watch that with the kids. So I did watch that, and I'm like, I actually really liked it. You know, I had seen parts of it, but I never really sat down and watched the whole thing. And I know people said it wasn't as good as the first. It's not, but I still really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good, really well done. You know, but I Wreck-It Ralph was one of my favorite Disney movies the last few years, so I did enjoy the sequel quite a bit.
Man. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a good film.
So I did watch that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they had already seen it, I guess, the kids. I just never really watched it all the way through. So, you know, say. You know, sometimes I miss things. Yeah, so that's it. Well, let's get into today's featured film then as we continue on with the sequels that made us month on the Rubber Reel podcast. And these, of course, are sequels to movies that we already covered. And about 2 years ago now, we covered X-Men. We kind of did a sort of double feature that day. We did the X-Men the week that the Avengers Infinity War came out. So for today, we decided let's cover X-Men 2. Arguably, one of the better comic book films out there and definitely a great sequel. So Matt, you want to summarize X-Men 2?
Yeah. So this film, you know, starts out with one of the best action sequences that, you know, we've seen, you know, off the bat in an X-Men film, maybe. And other than Days of Future Past, of course. And, you know, it looks like we're starting out on this big mutant rights kind of thing. You know, Nightcrawler leaves the dagger in the table, and then, you know, we see Wolverine coming back. He's doing some soul searching, trying to figure out who he is. Well, because of this attack that Stryker, organized, now that brings opportunity for him to come back to the X mansion, and Wolverine is brought, you know, face to face with his past as Stryker raids the X mansion. Magneto is captured. He's used to capture Xavier, and Wolverine and the kids have to escape where they're then picked up and they circle back around to save Charles, finding out that this is a plot to really just take out all the mutants with Stryker's son. Stryker's son's a mutant, and he has put Xavier right into Cerebro, and he is going to make Cerebro attack the mutants, and the X-Men stop it. That's really the bones of the film. I think my favorite scene in this movie is probably the beginning. You think the beginning is just is the strongest scene in this film?
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely a strong starting point. I remember seeing this in theaters and going, like, wow, we're off to a good start. Because, like, I enjoyed the X-Men, the first film, and I said this when we recorded, but as an X-Men fan, I wanted more. And, like, within the first 5 minutes of X-Men 2, I realized right away, like, okay, it's on now. We're getting more. And it doesn't stop from there. But I might pick the Wolverine Goes Berserk scene a little bit over the Nightcrawler scene, because when Wolverine goes off, that's like the first time we really got to see Wolverine do what we wanted to see him do in any movie ever. And it's still one of the better Wolverine scenes in any of the films, when he goes to save the children from Stryker's assailants, and Wolverine just goes off and it's badass. I mean, that was the first moment where, like, you realize that Hugh Jackman was, like, I mean, you knew it in X-Men that he was Wolverine, but he really is awesome in this movie. And for the most part, as much as the movie focuses on Stryker and his son and the capturing of Professor X, this is really Wolverine's movie in a lot of ways.
I really like the Berserk scene too, in the mansion. I think just whenever, well, I think it's when he gets shot and he just starts stabbing people in the chest, and just double stabbing people. And then, like you said, he just goes crazy. And that's what you live to see Wolverine do, is just berserk, uses claws to slice guns in half and just go in and just straight up gash people.
Yeah, and it was definitely, you know, getting to see that as a comic fan was like, wow, this is really cool. I'm finally getting to see the Wolverine that I wanted to see on screen. And it's badass. And then we get another great fight later on in the movie where he fights the girl with the long claws. I forget her mutant name. And this movie also took a lot of stuff from the comic books. Of course, the graphic novel from Chris Claremont, God Loves, Man Kills, which talked about humans dealing with what they felt was a mutant problem and believing that, you know, God told these humans that the mutant should be taken out. And it was kind of controversial. And this film doesn't touch on that fully, but there's definitely some elements taken from that, you know, that Stryker feels that the mutants are a problem and a disgrace to the human race. And that's why Magneto, in some ways, towards the end of the film, kind of realizes that Stryker is a bad guy. And he kind of helps the X-Men. And so, you know, we get our first glimpse of a Magneto that will help Xavier and his X-Men if it helps his own cause.
Yes. Yeah, that's definitely one thing that united them. This, you know, Stryker issue definitely caused the X-Men to team up, ultimately with Magneto trying to seize his own agenda towards the end, mm-hmm. before Storm intervened and got Charles Xavier out of there. But
yeah,
I mean, the way the president is speaking, you definitely get the undertones of that, that whole mutants, you know, shouldn't be there. Yeah. At the end of the movie, he's like, we have a mutant problem. And then that's whenever they pop in and just freeze everything and talk to the mm-hmm. president.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause, I was reading, and I didn't realize that for the free scenes, they used a lot of mime actors and people that were like theater actors that were experts at standing still. And I thought it was just a special effect they did, but they actually did use real actors for that, which I thought was kind of cool. I didn't know that about this film. But one thing I did like about this film is Brian Cox, man, he definitely plays a good Stryker. That guy is evil. He's always been a great character actor. And he doesn't back down against these mutants with these powers that could absolutely harm him until the end. Like when Wolverine gets a hold of Stryker and Stryker thinks that Wolverine's going to kill him, it's kind of like he finally realizes, like, man, what am I messing with? And I kind of like that scene too in the movie.
Yeah, whenever they have him locked up and Ian McKellen, he just he just doesn't care that he's locked up. Like he just knows he'll eventually escape. That's kind of the feeling I get from him, and he does. And with the help of Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah, we've been having Jennifer Lawrence play Mystique so long. I go back and I watch this and I forgot. I'm like, oh yeah, she used to be Mystique.
She's my favorite Mystique, I have to say. I think I just really like her as Mystique.
Yeah, she did a good job. And she even never understood why they did not ask her back for even Days of Future Past. She was like, but I guess at that point, Jennifer Lawrence had become such a big star that they figure, but we have this big star here, we're not going to invite you back. But she did kind of voice her opinion about that at one time. I could still play the role.
I think I remember that. And then, of course, she started the show Skin Wars, where, people do makeup on people. And she's, she still looks like she did in, Punisher 2004. I mean, and this is 16 years later. She still got it. So she could still play Mystique if she had to.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, everybody does a really good job of their roles. Even the young kids in this movie, like Sean Ashmore, who plays Iceman, and the kid who plays Pyro, I thought they all did a good job. And this is the first, obviously it's only the second X-Men film, but this movie really felt like the X-Men came to life in a different way they did in the first one. We got a broader look at the world of the X-Men. We got to see a little bit older, Cyclops and Jean Grey and Storm. They had all been doing this for a few months now. They're a little more mature, a little bit more ready for battle. And I like how the world felt a little more lived in than it did at the point where the X-Men began. And I think this movie did a good job with that. And I know Bryan Singer, who's going on to have some controversy in his career, I still think he did a good job directing this film. And despite the controversies he's had, he still made a really good X-Men film and arguably one of the best comic book movies and one of the best X-Men films in the series.
Absolutely. I mean, you see the tension that and the fear that people have of X-Men whenever, Bobby's brother calls the police and they show up and, they're like, put down the knives. He's like, I can't look. And then he gets shot in the head. And then one of my favorite scenes, probably maybe my third or fourth favorite scene in the film, Pyro, those mutants you see on TV, I'm the worst one. And he just starts blowing them all to hell because he thinks they killed his teacher.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is a good scene too. And I like kind of some of the dark humor in the movie, like, well, I can't put him down, but he doesn't. And I also felt, going back to the school scene, they kind of briefly introduced Cyclops. I remember seeing this back in 2003 when it came out. I was like, oh man, I want to see more of him, but it's just a glorified cameo. And then of course we get Cyclops in the Deadpool films, which is a little different than the one that was in this film, being a young man who was going to be Cyclops, or not Cyclops, Colossus. Why am I saying Cyclops?
Colossus.
Yeah. You know what I meant. And I thought that was cool. And, but overall though, I think X-Men 2 does such a good job of bringing the world to life. This is other than the Spider-Man films, this is the point where we started realizing that, comic book films could be, they could be huge hits at box office. They could be really well done. We were getting away from the cheesiness of the late 90s Batman films and getting serious comic book films again. And X-Men 2 deals with a lot of important social matters. Like you said, when Bobby comes out to his parents, he's a mutant. It's very reminiscent of, young people coming out today, being gay or lesbian to their parents. And Ian McKellen actually even helped write and direct that scene because he wanted it to be very similar to what young people go through when they come out to their parents about social issues. And X-Men has always been relevant, even going back to the 1960s when Stan Lee wrote the X-Men. He wanted it to be about outcasts and about fitting in and about dealing with social issues. And I think the X-Men has always done a good job of doing that throughout their series. And that's what makes me look forward to when they bring the X-Men into the MCU eventually, is how Marvel Studios is going to tackle that. And hopefully they keep that part of the X-Men and how they deal with issues that are going on in the world around them.
Yes, it's like you said, Stan Lee, he wanted these, I took a graphic literature class, and you know, it was about the evolution of comics, one of the coolest classes I've ever took. And, you know, our first day we learned about Action Comics number one. That was the that was the class. And we talked about the evolution of Marvel Comics, how you had these superheroes and they were just super. And then they evolved to this. You had these superheroes, but their powers weren't necessarily a trophy. They were a burden and they were looked at differently by society. So you had, yeah, they had these powers, but they had this other life that you could relate to. And, you know, you could, you know, really attach yourself to some of these mutants because they echoed your own life in some way. Yeah. And that's why, you know, people really love the X-Men and, you know, people, you know, a lot of people, I've got some friends that are gay that really love X-Men. And, you know, to your point, you know, I think this scene in that movie, you know, it's probably the closest thing that you can get to, you know, coming out to your parents. Cause Bobby's coming out as a mutant. He's not really gifted. Like, hey, you know, that gifted school, that's really cause I can free stuff, you know, I'm gonna get this really cool job at the NFL stadium. I'm going to freeze beers for people.
But I think that's a good point. I think that's why I've always gravitated towards the X-Men because I feel like they are very relatable in a lot of ways and what you deal with in your daily life, whether, like you said, someone is gay or straight, someone is overweight, someone is awkward, doesn't fit in. And there's something you can find in the X-Men. You know, a lot of people sometimes feel like they're outcasts to other people in their families or their schools and things like that. And the X-Men always reached to those people and made you feel fit in. And I've always been a longtime X-Men fan, even since I was younger reading comics. You know, I was more of a late bloomer with Spider-Man. Yeah, I love Spider-Man now. But when I was younger, I didn't really read a lot of Spider-Man. I always really loved the X-Men and Batman a lot. Batman just because he was badass, and X-Men just because I really liked the huge world that they involved and all the different stories they did and all the neat characters. And I always liked the X-Men a lot. And I liked the fact that the X-Men, to me, always felt like it wasn't just a superhero story. They dealt with, like, real-world issues. And there might have been supervillains that were causing things, but it brought social issues into play in the stories that were told in those comic books. And I think it made the X-Men maybe feel a little more real at times to me.
Absolutely. I mean, whenever you have, you know, I mean, not everyone could really relate to Captain America when Captain America first came out. You know, you really didn't have much of his backstory, but, you know, these mutants, they had problems. They had problems at home, much to, you know, a, you know, puberic teenager would have. You know, just not fitting in, not agreeing with his parents, not really seeing eye to eye, and maybe having this, you know, this shadow that they just couldn't get out of. And their powers were that, you know, whether they were cool or not. I mean, you're like, man, you know, Rogue's got, you know, a cool power, but now she can never touch anybody, you know. So you know, that's a crutch, you know, or a crutch. That's a hindrance for her. And, you know, everyone has their own.
Yeah, that's for sure. In the series of the X-Men films, I mean, where would you rank X-Men to? I mean, to me, I think Logan is number one. And I always kind of flip-flop X-Men 2 and Days of Future Past. Like, I'll watch X-Men 2 and I'm like, okay, I think this is better. I put it at number two. But then I watch Days of Future Past, and I think it's better, and I put it behind Logan. And then I feel like, you know, I always put First Class at number four. People don't give First Class enough love to me. I think First Class is really good, and I always have it right behind Days of Future Past and X-Men 2.
I think that's fair. I would have to say it's Logan, and then, you know, boom, I'd go into Days of Future Past and then X2. But that's kind of like 2A, 2B for me. And then, boom, Days of Future Past. I mean, First Class right after that.
Well, my biggest problem with Days of Future Past is, like X-Men 2 has the big climax where Jean Grey, you know, gets swept into the ocean and, you know, we know she's going to come back as a Phoenix and all that. My biggest problem with Days of Future Past is it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. It's really, really fucking good. And then you get to the end and Magneto's lifting the stadium and it's really badass and everything. And then he just sort of like gives up because, you know, he doesn't want to kill everybody. And there's no climactic battle. You know what I mean? You have all these Sentinels rise into the sky and then we don't even get them. X-Men don't even fight the Sentinels. You know, they just sort of shut down. And that's my biggest problem with Days of Future Past is like, there's all this buildup and I'm like, that's it. That's all that happens at the end. And that's the only thing that I didn't like about that movie.
I would give Days of Future Past second place just because of Wolverine waking up shirtless and flexing his chest. And then the mafia dudes come in the room and they're like, we're paying you to protect the boss's daughter, not sleep with her. And he's like, no, right. No. Well, that wasn't me. He's like, what? Or how wasn't it? And like, oh, well, of course, I've slept with her tons of times, but I just got here. And it's, yeah. That whole scene's like just freaking hilarious. It's like, how?
Let's just be honest. You were excited because you saw Hugh Jackman's butt, dude. You know
that is a huge Jackman moment, man. That's a huge Jackman moment. The whatever buttocks you, of Hugh Jackman.
Whatever helps you sleep at night. So how would you rate? So how would you rate X-Men 2? I think it's a solid A, easily.
I think it's an A. It's definitely an A. Part of me feels that, you know, this feels like it ends with Magneto trying to, you know, jack with the human race, just like the first one. And I mm-hmm. wish they would have been a little bit more of a political discussion, you know, like a mutants rights kind of thing, kind of like Days of Future Past was. I think Days of Future Past really capitalized and made a story around mutant rights, like this one was trying to do. And it felt like it kind of relied on Magneto being the bad guy again. That's probably the only beef that I could have with this movie is I wish it would have had a more creative ending. But I think you know, the film gives you a lot. It does give you a lot. Yeah. And this is the sequel we needed to end on.
And going back to the ending, like I felt the ending – I think the ending doesn't feel as creative only because The Last Stand didn't work. And I think if The Last Stand had worked like it was supposed to and Bryan Singer would have came back to direct and we would have gotten the real Phoenix story that we deserved, I think it would have made the ending not feel the way you felt, if that makes sense, you know?
That's fair.
Because The Last Stand was such a letdown that it kind of takes away from Jean Grey's sacrifice at the end of this and Magneto turning back to his ways, you know, and those elements are there in The Last Stand, but it just didn't come together enough to make the ending of X-Men 2 worthy.
Man, and at the end, now that you mention the end, Cyclops was getting so close to Charles. I was waiting for Charles to be like, kiss me, Cyclops. It's me, Jean. And then he just like, yes, Sir Patrick Stewart, I will kiss you. Or something like that. And I was like, man, I was like, Cyclops is getting awfully close. That's got to make Sir Patrick Stewart a little uncomfortable.
All right. On that note, let's get into some news for the week instead of Cyclops kissing Professor X. We'll start out with some nonsense. You know, AMC theaters, man, they might not survive this COVID-19 pandemic, which is kind of a weird thing. They were already... I didn't realize that before this happened, they were already kind of struggling having to borrow some money. I guess AMC was a victim of opening up too many large theaters and they're not all being successful. But they may be filing for bankruptcy very soon. And it's just weird, man, because, you know, AMC is where, you know, I saw Attack of the Clones at a midnight screening. I think Revenge of the Sith also. Several other movies over the years. The AMC is where I saw Batman 1989 back in the day. You know, so a lot of memories. Yeah, I remember seeing Independence Day at AMC Theater and seeing the trailer for the Star Wars Special Editions. AMC is just something that's been a staple in the movie industry for so many years. And it could be a weird post-COVID-19 world to not have AMC theaters around anymore.
That's just crazy. And it's like, I was like you. I thought this you know, company had a lot of money and a lot of resources to kind of weather the storm, so to say, but it's very sad and disheartening to hear that they may be impacted this bad. You know, I don't think I've seen my most memorable movies at AMC, but I've definitely seen enough to have some good memories of AMC theaters.
Yeah, I haven't been in a while. Actually, when I heard they might close, I was trying to think the last time I went to the AMC Willowbrook over near us, and I think it was I maybe took Mikey to see Captain Underpants. Might be the last thing I saw there. No, wait. Did we see Solo there?
We did see Solo there.
So that was probably the last thing I saw there. That's right. So we did see Solo there. That's probably the last thing I saw at the AMC theaters then. So we'll see if they make it any, if they, something comes along and saves them possibly. So we'll see. You know, news continues to be a bit slow as Hollywood is kind of shut down, but there are some things. Marvel Unlimited right now is offering free access to some of their most classic stories. So if you're bored and want to read some comics digitally, you can get some free comics on Marvel Unlimited right now. So that's a good deal. We did talk last week about the game delays. And Marvel's delays and all that. Oh, Mark Hamill did release a letter to the fans this week in the midst of all this, thanking them for the success of Star Wars and all his success over the years. And, you know, it seems like Mark has done this a few times since, you know, he kind of spoke out against The Last Jedi. And I think he felt somewhat responsible for the fan backlash on The Last Jedi when he gave his thoughts last year. So it feels like this is the second or third time that he's thanked Star Wars fans since then. And maybe a little bit of a guilty conscience from Mark Hamill.
Yeah, I think he definitely did have an emotional response to The Last Jedi. And I think it just kind of, you know, echoed what a lot of fans thought. And, you know, maybe if, you know, Luke had gone out and said, hey, how do you think Obi-Wan became a hermit that was hiding from the Empire? You know, it's like, I think if he would have taken that route and showed that, you know, hey, this is the cycle of the Jedi. You know, you're this cunning warrior. You're great. You're lovable. And then, you know, you go into solitude and, you know, keep to yourself until another Jedi finds you, and then you're responsible for training that new Jedi like Obi-Wan was. And so it's kind of just a cycle, you know. That's how I viewed it. And I didn't necessarily agree with, you know, Luke's, you know, arc, but, it, you know, I think it had to happen, and it couldn't have happened any other way, possibly.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Well, you know, with the delays in movie theaters, we're going to get a lot of movies are shifting release dates and everything. And Disney has obviously owns a lot of properties, a lot of stuff coming out. So they announced that Artemis Fowl is going to be coming to Disney Plus. And I wasn't surprised by this one because I remember this movie being advertised last summer and they already delayed it once or twice. And it was supposed to come out this summer. So I guess Disney felt at this point, look, we're never going to get Artemis Fowl in theaters. And of course, it's based on the famous novels. So it's expected to be on Disney Plus later this year. And then there's a lot of rumors about what they're going to do with the long delayed New Mutants. But apparently the problem with New Mutants is they can't release it directly to streaming because HBO Warner Brothers still have some television rights to Fox properties. I thought that was interesting. So they just can't put New Mutants on Disney Plus or Hulu because they technically don't own any kind of television rights to some 20th Century Fox property still, because the contracts aren't up yet. So the poor New Mutants movie feels like it's never ever going to get released.
It'll be one of those lost movies that we'll find on bootleg.
It's strange because at this point I kind of want to see it just because we've been hearing about it so long.
Yeah, and the trailer didn't look bad.
No, I mean, you know, I'll watch it. It's X-Men, or it's in the X-Men world anyway, so I'll watch it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And other than that, the only other thing in the news is Taiki Waititi, however you say his name, is not going to be directing any episodes of Mandalorian Season 2, even though he did direct some of Season 1, just because he's too busy getting Thor, Love, and Thunder ready to go. And I guess he's still going to produce and work on the live-action Akira movie. So, that's about it. Like I said, just kind of more slow news, you know, continued delays with Hollywood films and things like that. But in the bad news, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Comicpalooza, they released a promo where they're going to do something similar to what the rodeo did for their, you know, venues and people that bought venues and and tables and booths to sell their stuff. You can now go on to Comic Palooza and you can go to their art gallery, and they have all the vendors there, from prints to t-shirts. And you can, you know, go and buy, the artists or the vendors, items that you would normally go to, or, you can browse their site and support these people that really depend on Comic Palooza, or, you know, at least we're looking forward to it as a source of income. You know, I went ahead and I went to the undergroundforest.com and I bought some stuff from Mark Nasso. I got a cool, Land of the Rats pub glass, and, he threw in some stickers. Even though I didn't ask for it, he threw in some extra stuff, bookmark. So my kids, you know, reading books, I'm going to have them use a Land of the Rats bookmark. So, you know, get in there and support your local artists. And, you know, if you have the means to do so, spread some love and, you know, buy something and, help those guys out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Cause right now with all that's going on, some of those guys, they do it for a living. You know, they sell crafts and goods throughout the year. There's a lot of people making homemade masks right now for face masks. A friend of mine I met through Compalooza, Cynthia Vale, she's selling face masks on her website and things like that. So, yeah, definitely support the small businesses where you can and keep those guys going so that when we do come out of this, we're able to have all these people at the comic conventions and things we love again so that they can keep making money and we can keep buying cool shit, you know? And it's just the way to do it. So before we get out of here, let's preview next week's film as the sequels that made us month continues. And next week should be a very exciting film. And I swear I did not pick this on purpose when I knew that the world was going in somewhat apocalyptic directions. But we are going to pick, we are going to talk a very apocalyptic film. And that is a huge favorite of mine. And then that is The Road Warrior.
This is what it has come to. Here is where it shall be decided.
Here it is.
Greetings from the Humongous.
In a world without gas.
The Humongous rules the wasteland.
I'm gravely disappointed that you wish to take the gasoline out of the wasteland.
Defend the fuel.
We'll never walk away.
Give me the pump, the gasoline. The whole compound.
This is a land that prays for a hero.
Well, if anyone's gonna get in there, it's gonna be you.
This is Mad Max 2.
Since I've seen driving like that, man.
The warrior of the road.
You're okay by me, pal.
Gotta hand it to you, Treasure. The last of the V8 interceptors.
Every day we get weaker while they get stronger.
You wanna get out of here?
You talk to me. Now, to do the job, I need some high-octane gasoline.
Got yourself a deal.
You can run, but you can't hide!
You gonna crash? Or crash through.
I was wrong about you. I'm sorry.
When it's every man for himself. And there's no place left to run. All that's left is one last chance. Pray that he's still out there. Somewhere. Mad Max 2.
Yes.
And, man, this is an awesome, awesome film. You know, it's one of those first, growing up, it's one of the first apocalyptic films I remember watching. Absolutely love The Road Warrior. it's a really great movie. And again, it has nothing to do with the times we're in now, because people might think that COVID-19 is the apocalypse, but I don't truly believe that. I do think we will come out of this. And even though we thought we would all be dressing like Mad Max characters during times like this, you know, but
yeah,
but the Road Warrior, you know, we covered Mad Max about a year ago, the original film. We've actually already done Fury Road for some reason. We just did it a while back. So this will be the third Mad Max film we're going to cover. And should be fun talking the Road Warrior, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, you got the Pharaoh kid, you got the chick with the football armor, and then you've got the crazy dude on the bike, you know, that screams a lot. And then you've got the Humongous, Lord Humongous.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
The Road Warrior is a batshit crazy fun film to watch, and should be a good one to talk about next week on the show. I'm looking forward to it. And and thank anyone for listening to this episode and bearing with us as we work out the kinks of remote recording, so to speak, as we try to do our part to social distance, and as we all get through this together, man. There's no black, white, brown, gay, straight, and all this. It's a country, it's a world that needs to survive this and get through it and take care of each other as we move forward and hopefully get back to normal sooner than later, of course.
Yes, sooner than later for sure.
And again, man, go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com. Join our Patreon if you want. Just $2 a month, you get an exclusive episode and more stuff coming soon to the page. We appreciate that. And if you don't want to join the Patreon on the RebelRadioPodcast.com page, there's a donate button there too. You can just donate a couple bucks to us if you want and say, here, man, it's for the show. You know, we're a small business too. So if you want to support us, you can support us, you know, and we do appreciate it. And we thank you as always for listening. And again, just stay safe out there, take care of each other, and we'll keep entertaining you the best we can. And that's all I got, you know, for this week. And we hope everyone has a great week, and we hope they had a good Easter weekend, because you'll get this episode after Easter. And this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
And as always, remember, just go there and do it. Just
go there and do it.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.